I've just been making like straight pancakes with some peanut butter powder in it.
Straight pancakes? Why don't you try making gay pancakes?
yeah, fuck that. no pancake of mine.
No.
Back Pocket, a podcast by Jake and Dylan.
Feel good about that?
Yeah.
Good enough?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you by chance see my brainstorm note to start the show? Pull it up. We've definitely talked about this to some degree.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm referring to when I put 2K?
No.
I'm not referring to 2K sports or any of that, NBA 2K, nothing like that.
Candlestick.
2000. 2000 what, Jake?
You're 2000 and late.
No.
Oh.
Total listens.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about like 1000 when it happened, which I think was during the summer. We're like, and then at this pace, we will reach 2000 by said date. And I don't know what we said. I'd have to go back and check the tape.
I'm positive we said January. Must be.
Yeah. I mean, we might have said by the end of this year, but I feel like that's something that we would have said.
2064.
Yeah. We're crushing it.
Feels good. And that's good.
Listens on one episode.
It's yep.
Incredible.
That's incredible. Listens per episode. Mm-hmm. So really, really blowing its back out, metaphorically.
2064 divided by 52. That wouldn't be nearly as impressive as 2064 divided by 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's what? 100,000?
Yeah, on pace.
Yep.
Not bad. Explains a lot.
Not bad.
Explains the sick setup.
Explains this exponential growth we've been having.
Mm-hmm. Up and up through the roof?
Yeah.
All right.
Be cool.
You have a note here. It's a question.
Not going
to. No?
Nope.
Not going to?
No. Nope, got to start things off differently, so might have to push it back. As cryptic as that sounds, because we're making a whole production of it. It's not going to be like, all right, go.
Ready, go.
Yep.
Nope. So last episode, we discussed the character that you had in the works,
mm-hmm.
and you have been workshopping, I'd imagine more time spent in the car.
Oh, with totally. Friends. Yeah. Hours just upon hours.
Getting approval, trying to tinker with, you know, maybe some of the you know, main lines and,
mm-hmm.
and yeah. things that
figuring out their likes, their dislikes, where they're from, what their family life was like growing up. Typical stuff.
Meisner technique
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yep.
Stuff we all learned in class.
Yep. Things we all know as trained actors. Which I am.
So you still don't want to do it?
It's not that I don't want to do it. It's that this is an error on my part that I didn't bring it up before we started recording.
Oh.
So, it's all good.
Like, hey, got cold feet. I'm thinking I'm going to showcase Elmer. I'm going to showcase him in a video and then bring him onto the pod.
No. I'll make his debut on the podcast, but his stars aren't aligned. Timing's not right.
You're just not ready?
It's going to be like a cold open situation, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I figured if it's going to be a cold open, it's going to be like initiation day or what is it when frats are like have open houses?
Rush?
Well, rush, but then like they have an open house on day one and like guys are coming in and they're just like, hey, we'd love for you to come out to our rush event next week. Da, da, da.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. That's not, I mean, campuses do shit differently. We never had that. It was just, just rush.
Oh, just straight in?
Just straight in rush.
So that's how I'd imagine that would be the scene. If there's going to be a cold open and a scene, it would have to be rush, but I could be wrong.
Debatable. You know, there's ideas floating around. I don't want to put too much out there. Okay. You know? I still want it to be somewhat of a surprise, but...
All right, give someone a teaser. What's going to, like, make them want to come back?
It's going to make them want to come back?
Yeah. Next episode. Cold open.
He's just a guy who's willing to do whatever it takes, but he doesn't actually know what it takes. So he has an idea. I'm not going to say more. I can't. I'm not going to do this a disservice by pretty much giving away the punchline, so to speak.
It sounds like us with the pod. Like, we've got an idea and we're like hammering home on like consistency. Consistency is going to be key. And then it's like, here we are doing an episode. We need guests. Guests are what bring in the fucking monster numbers. Bring the friends back on the show. You know who wants to come on? Alex.
Oh yeah, to defend himself.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, we should phone a friend.
Yeah, he can come on. We'll plan it. We'll plan it out.
Sunday.
Tune in next week. Alex Maloney defends his crown. All out bloodbath. As he rips into Harry, Darren, and Charlie.
Yeah. I did feel bad. Like, we started, I don't know, just fucking piling it on in the group chat. And I know I didn't make matters any better because, like, right when the dust had settled after people had listened and then, like, guys in our group chat were talking about it, all of a sudden, like, hour or two goes by, it had grown stale. And then all of a sudden, I was like, peep my new avatar or my new, like... you know, profile photo, but granted, no one responded to it, which was like pretty lame. Like, I was so proud of that fucking photo that I forgot even existed, like the most Giga Chad Maloney and wearing his sunglasses, doing the fucking face. But, yeah, I felt bad because it's like, it would be one thing if I was in the apartment with Alex and I could be like, dog, I'm just messing with you. But I think from afar, it would have been one of those where like, maybe he was like, does everyone hate me?
From afar, it could look like legitimate bullying, but yeah. You know, we're just friends. This is how us guys say I love you, because we're actually too scared to openly say it. Because we're not allowed to.
One of the podcasts I was listening to, I think it was on Pardon My Take, they had this guy Ryan Russillo on. Mm-hmm. He works for ESPN, NBA guy, but he was talking about like, they're just talking about life in general. And he said he had this moment like in college, or right after college, like realizing that all this time of spending time with friends and whatever, like, he was just always the guy that would like shit on people. Like, that was just his sense of humor. And like, that's just what they did. Like, they were just always busting balls. And then he realized like, that gets really old. Like, nobody wants to hang out with a guy that's constantly busting your balls. And like,
I don't like it when like your relationship dynamic with a person is solely that. Cause exactly like you said, like, it's like, holy fuck. Like, can we have a serious conversation, or not everything has to be this like bit or this joke, which I'm normally down for. I'm down for a lot of the time, but you know, like,
I'm down for a good bit.
I'm down for a good bit. Don't get me wrong.
It's like the Kyle Mooney. Usually I'm down to drink and smoke, but like lately I just haven't been like down to drink and smoke with the homies. Like, something's wrong. I'm like sad right now.
That's how it be. But how it do. You know, well, this is the plight of the modern man. Someone's gotta do something about it. Maybe us. I don't know.
We could be heroes.
One thing I also forgot to mention.
Standing.
See this? See how mobile I am right now? You can hear it. I'm gonna take my slippers off.
Jakey quick feet.
Yeah. Yeah, so sweet. I'm standing right now. Feel great. Feel liberated. Feel energized.
What would be the proper sound effect for the fact that I'm currently on a knee? Like, I'm in the...
You're kneeling?
I'm on one knee because I was just kind of getting sick and tired of sitting like
probably
on the chair that I have.
What, like a Colin Kaepernick sound effect?
Yeah. Head down, just up.
All I know... You want to know a proper sound effect for standing?
Yep.
Damn right.
Liquid hydraulics.
Yeah. I don't even know. I think it's just electric.
I could use a standing desk right now.
I would prefer standing, honestly.
Do it.
Well,
do it. I'm not going to. Do it right now. Stand up.
No, because then it fucks up my entire setup.
Stand up right now.
Looking down at my screen.
Just stand up.
Looking down at you.
Just stand up for a sec.
I literally have this right hand just like firmly placed on my kneecap.
Stand up quick. Really quick. Stand up. Nope. Do it. Stand up. Join me. Nice.
I'm back down.
Well, that wasn't a full stand. There we go. Wow. So commanding.
Yeah. And I'm wearing gray shorts with no underwear on. So I was like kind of nervous. I'm like, ooh, if I have a little dribble.
More like that outline. Ooh,
oh, yeah.
That dick print.
Got to be careful. Sometimes you just got to let them know.
Damn. Dylan, why are you always wearing gray sweats whenever we record?
Yeah, just hogging. Just hogging dogs right now.
Just letting them fly.
Porky McPorkers.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite flavor of Haagen-Dazs specifically? Because I got one locked and loaded.
I can't say I've actually like done way too much of a Haagen-Dazs deep dive. I feel like everyone, if you're in the just grabbing a pint market, it's gonna be Ben and Jerry's.
It's gonna be my two boyfriends, Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, they love my handles. But
you want me to give you the dirty deets?
Yeah, Haagen-Dazs.
I'm gonna let you know.
Yeah.
Dolce de leche, baby.
Which, that's...
Dolce de leche.
That's
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's rich. It's sweet. It's creamy. Good to have a little treat, you know? Get yourself a spoon of it. Pretty good. Trust me. Do you know Haagen-Dazs doesn't actually mean anything?
Doesn't surprise me.
They just made the name up so it'd sound fancy.
I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah.
All right.
You seem distracted.
You know what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
No, I'm looking. You know who I am. You know me. Anyone that listens to the show,
you're
I'm
the
transition guy. I serve no other function but to transition the show from one segment to the next.
Yep.
And I'm looking at our brainstorm episode 53 spreadsheet. That's how we do it.
Oh, yeah.
A little look behind the curtains. This is just we're a.
That's how the sausage is made.
We're a Google Drive family through and through.
Yep.
So, weekly gripe / hype. That's the segment. Whoosh. Insert sound effect. Pow. So, you. I know the boys weren't down, and I know that our text, something that I said via text, is showing up here in your notes. So tell me about the boys being in town. Give me the gripe and the hype.
Oh, baby, the boys were in town. They came up to San Francisco for the weekend, and let me tell you, they got pretty rowdy.
And you're probably thinking, like, which boys?
Someone lost a toe.
No.
Yep.
Who?
Two people lost a toe.
Actually?
No.
Okay.
But you wouldn't be surprised because we got so rowdy.
I would not.
Because we got so crazy. That I was seeing. No, it was all the boys that were on that previous episode, Harry, Darren, Charlie, and then Jacob came up to celebrate Tommy's birthday / Harry's birthday / Adam. His birthday. Adam came up too. And let's see, what do we do? We got together Friday, went out, hit up a bar, burned that place to the ground.
Closed it down. As the boys have been known to do.
Closed it down, shut it down. So many drinks. They were like, please stop. All of our kegs are tapped. And we're like, don't care. Keep pouring them. And they're like, how? You guys aren't even the slightest bit drunk. We're like, damn right. Keep pouring them up.
It's the San Diego Cuties.
Oh,
they're out in full force.
Oh no!
San just like a like an alarm sounds off all throughout the San Francisco.
Amber alert! Yeah,
bars beware.
Lock up your daughters. Lock up the bars.
This is episode 51 in order to get some sort of good idea as to how much damage these guys are capable of.
Listen to episode 51 all the way through to the end, so you can listen to the world premiere of Freak Show.
listen to that song and tell me these guys aren't absolute freaks and they're going to burn this place to the ground.
So did that. Saturday was, I had an eventful fucking Saturday, dude. So not only was, so at night we were going to do, rented out this bar. Not this bar, this restaurant.
You rented out a bar so that you could burn it to the
so
ground.
We could,
paid for this.
We could light, to be a piece of shit. Light this place on fire, dude. I used to be such a piece of shit, dude.
So it was a restaurant, so you had to be able to get sloppy steaks?
Oh, so we slopped them. We slopped them good. And so we rented hair, out
white pants.
We rented out this bar. Oh, God. Look at me saying bar again. Like a fool. I got bars on the mind, you know. And we rented out this restaurant. And it's not a huge place. And what you can do, it's called Bamboo Restaurant on Polk Street for any fellow San Francisco residents. You rent it out, $45 a person. You get unlimited food, unlimited beer and sake, more like unlimited Bud Light and sake. So, you know, electric. And then you can do karaoke. So we had like 20, 25 people in there singing our asses off, having a good time. And, earlier, before that, it was another friend's, like, moving away slash birthday party. And so, met up at this guy's apartment, went up to the roof.
How long, sorry to get hung up on this, but how long did you guys have the restaurant for?
A good, like, 4 hours or something.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about the fact that, so you said it was 20-something people?
Yeah, we had a lot of people there.
And what if, like, there was someone that was on... like the fringe, right? That was like, oh, like, yeah, they hit you with the CBD, like could be down. And then all of a sudden,
no,
like, last hour, they're like, can I come?
I'll think the restaurant asked for like definitive headcount beforehand, just so they can plan out, like, I think all the logistics of it.
Would hate to be a CBDer that night.
You got to commit. It's too fun not to commit. If you're like, oh, I might have other plans. No, shut the fuck up.
What was
come do karaoke.
Give me a little ratio.
Well, let me finish this first part off, and then we can jump back. This is just poor structure on my part, and I apologize for that. But went to the rooftop, hung out pregame, then went to this like house show at this club, Audio, which was pretty fun. Had the fast glasses out and going pretty good. And then we went straight from that to karaoke. So... continue with your question. Ratio?
Okay. Ratio. Like, so I'm imagining, I know the six or so guys that were certainly there. And if there was 20 people, the WAG was there?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. She was there. All the WAGs were there. So there were 1, 2, 3 other WAGs. A couple friends, and then it was mostly dudes, you know.
Yeah, because if I'm a single guy, right, there's always, like, when it comes to going out, it's the level of uncertainty. Like, there's a chance you talk yourself into, like, this group of five guys, we might meet five chicks that are just, like, perfect, the whole Louis C.K. bit.
It's the wrong mindset to have, man.
But
your priorities should be having fun.
Set headcount.
Because fun attracts fun.
I agree. But it's just from a commitment standpoint. Like, I'm thinking, like, someone that's on the fringe that's like, Jake just invited us to this. They're renting out a restaurant. Like, figure out who's going, and then we'll commit. Otherwise,
but it's for birthday, okay, dude. If you're not a real friend, if you're not coming out.
You know what? Yeah, I fucked up. I recognize that if it's the boys' birthdays, I'm in regardless.
You fucked up.
But say another circumstance where it's just like a very random, like, yo, renting out this restaurant for a nice night out. Then I'd be like,
okay, I can picture it. I'm closing my eyes.
Renting out restaurant, not bar.
Okay.
Very specific.
Oh, okay. Hold on. Okay. Now I can picture it.
Okay. So Saturday. That was Saturday.
Sunday turned into a sneaky bender for a lot of the guys. And
sneaky.
Yeah, we'll talk more about sneaky later. And so the four people that were staying at my apartment, Jacob, Harry, Darren, Charlie, they all get up at like 8, 7:30, 8, after having gone to bed probably at like 3-4 in the morning, because they're animals, dude. My dog's got that dog in them getting after it, because Jacob's a huge Liverpool fan. So they go to this bar that I've been to many times, never knew it was a Liverpool bar, oddly enough, as a big of a football fan as I am. And so they go there. I wake up seeing a Snapchat. Charlie just shotgunned a beer at 8 a.m. And I was like, good God, what are you guys doing? And they proceed to just drink a bunch. I wake up pretty hungover. Say goodbye to the wag. She leaves. I send her along her way. And then I go back to, I pass out on the couch for like an hour because I'm just dead. I can barely function at this point. And then I wake up to a text from Charlie, from Chuck, saying, how's it going? And I was like, I'm okay. I'm chilling. He's like, all right, we're at this bar. Come over. We're watching the football games, the wild card games. And I was like, okay, I muster up the courage to go make it out there. And I show up. They have a table outside and they are all just drunk. Like, they're like, we've been drinking for 5 hours. And I was like, what the fuck? What did I miss? And yeah, man, it was pretty crazy. Charlie discovered Irish coffees that day. He had never had them before. Doesn't drink coffee. Guess how many he had?
4.
More.
6.
Less.
5.
He had 5 Irish coffees. He wasn't jittery or spazzy. He was hammered for sure, but he was fine. And the scientific marvel that happened.
What?
Dude didn't shit once.
Yeah, so
he drank like 5 cups of coffee, did not shit.
Yeah, when I think Irish coffee, I think of like the early Penn State football games where it would be like a noon kickoff and you'd start drinking early in the morning. And usually some Kahlua and whatever else, Jameson, whatever it is. And I can always just imagine like the instant regret when I'm stuck at the tailgating lots and all you have is just a porta potty. And you're like, God, like you have to wipe the seat down. And
I'm about to eviscerate this porta potty.
Oh, it's just the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the time, I think I have a Snapchat of just like my legs with my pants down. And I was like, I think the caption of it was like too much pregame fiber, but it's not the fiber intake. It was the coffee.
It's the coffee. Yeah. So that was impressive. I was seriously like, holy shit, dude. And then sent, Jacob and Darren along their way to their flights. Went over to the Palace of Fine Arts with Harry, Chuck, and Tommy. Got some Thai food, hung out. Day ended. It was fine. And then, yeah, dude, Monday. And this gets into my gripe. I just felt super like anxious the whole day, like super out of it, which I guess could be similar to anxiety. Cause I think it was just a result of drinking. I don't drink that much anymore. So if I have like a few days in a row where I'm like drinking and getting drunk, I just don't like it, but I have to.
We're at that age, man.
Because the guys are in town, the boys are back, so I have to. I can't say no.
There's been a push in the friend group now that we're all, you know, 25 and up, of like moving towards, you know, if there's going to be drinking, it's going to be day drinking, because at least like you get to bed at least an hour. And
I'm a fan of day drinking.
Yeah, and so. But I hear you where it's like the multiple days in a row I look back at, like, granted, you know, I'm going to say like, oh, I look back at college. But like in the grand scheme of things, my college experience was like very, very, you know, amateur from like a drinking standpoint. And, you know, at most, right, like a Friday and Saturday, like back to back like that. I wasn't like, I don't know, wasn't bogged down with plans left and right. But like that is just like wild to me. Personally,
yeah.
There's people listening that are like, oh, that's soft.
I could never go back to college drinking, dude. I mean, like freshman, realistically, like freshman through junior year at Cal Poly, at least. I know this isn't unique to Cal Poly, but for us, like the weekend started like Thursday. Like that's when people started going out. So a very common weekend would be drink Thursday, Friday, Saturday, which.
Yeah, I might have done
no,
that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, you're not a dumb engineer or someone in STEM, you did enough Friday classes. So you fucking partied.
So your hype was the fellas coming out, and it was awesome.
So fun. Great weekend.
The gripe was the anxiety, yep. the just feeling of regret on Monday as like you're trying to
get my life back together. Were you busy,
like, working, trying to be a normal human being on a Monday?
Monday was thankfully like a pretty chill day for me, and I was able to spend a little bit more time with Harry and Charlie before they left. So that was fun, but it was just still in the background. It was just like, ugh.
But did you have class that night?
I had class that night. I went for a run beforehand.
You're not doing like performances or anything.
That's
like
the
that.
Good thing is that we don't,
yeah.
At least not now. I think we'll kind of start getting into that. But for now it hasn't been. So that's been the saving grace. It's like, it's funny. Like I was so used to, you know, every class in between class, you have to be working, be ready to go when it comes time to class. Cause you're going to go up on stage and do something. And now it's this weird, like, oh, I'm okay. I can just go to class, listen, take it in. But I went for a run beforehand, and that actually really helped. Now that I have started running again, which has been good.
You're like one of those, like Instagram, Twitter influencers. That's like a, you know, business mindset, mm-hmm. you know, lifestyle coach where it's like, make sure to get up early.
I get up at 5 a.m. every day. My day starts. I get up. I do my morning meditation. And in my morning, I
journal my goals.
And then I journal, and then I read 2 books. And then I take an ice cold shower. Then I do my workout and my run. I crush that. Next, breakfast. 2 eggs, whole, shell and all.
The best thing about that is that, like, here we are, like, mocking it or whatever. And, like, granted, every time I've had a morning like that where I get up early, like, whether it's intentional or unintentional, and I get a workout in or whatever, like, it does feel, admittedly, it feels great. Mm-hmm. But it's just not practical. Like this idea of, like, that being the everyday routine, just, like, turning into this machine, right? It's, like, at the same time, like, the value for the average person of just, like, getting a good night of sleep and, like, prioritizing that, like, that's going to do wonders.
Yeah.
But cool. Yeah, definitely not. This podcast is not going to be, I hate being a hater of the influencers out there, but at the same time, just like, I think the image that they cast is just like this way or else you're a failure and you're not going to ever be in the 6-figure ballpark and da 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 da, like, you know, you'll be inanimate, but,
and you might as well end it all.
Yep. So cool. Some pushback to that. Yeah. I will say in regards to like anxiety, I know I mentioned it when my Penn State boys were in town visiting.
Yeah.
That was very much like just coming back from, you know, it was a staycation, but just remember like my first day back after like having the Sunday off to pretty much just like recoup. I still on Monday was like, I'm like sleep deprived, need more water in my system, whatever it is. Like, I was just out of it, very much out of it. Like, I think I was coaching, and I was like, I am a shittier coach than I normally am.
I'm tired, and I'm horny.
Stop. Stop. Dad, good night.
But, get out of my room.
But all right, I'm going to go gripe and then hype. My gripe is, I feel like I've hyped about everything out here so far, but on a gripe, like now that it's a month and a half or so of being out in Arizona, my gripe is going to be that I'm like definitely living in a little bit of a bubble, because I recognize it whenever someone asks me like, oh, what do you think of Scottsdale? What do you think of Arizona? And I'm like, honestly, I go 5 minutes down the road to the gym and 5 minutes back. And I sometimes stop at a Chipotle. That's
more a Panda. Like,
yeah. And it's like, I'm not going out and like, amongst the commoners, if that makes sense. Ugh. Like, I've gone to Old Town Scottsdale one time on New Year's Eve, which was just like the craziest representation of what that is. And the way I'd put it is, it was like Pacific Beach meets Las Vegas.
Damn.
It was Jesus. But
it's quite the description.
But, yeah, like I saw someone on a like one of the scooters just like face plant. Like, it was a guy and a chick, and the chick was on the inside, and she just ate his fall for him, and her face started bleeding. And luckily there were some other people that decided to step up and be a hero and like help them out. But
I, very quick tangent. I had friends that similar thing happened to them in college. We were going to a formal, and the guy had the girl on his back giving her a piggyback ride, and he was running and he trips and fucking face plants, and his face was just like battered. And so they didn't end up going that night, but the best part too was he was on the like exec board or something for his fraternity, and it was like they were taking like their composite pictures, which is like the picture of everybody. And so he just has like scabs, like fat scabs, like on his face. It was beautiful. Yeah,
quite the memory though. But yeah, so my gripe is just like the bubble life. Like it's fine, but I'm just recognizing that I need to get out and like, cause I mean, I live with guys that I work with. And so just having a little bit more separation of church and state and a little bit
just more. Just kind of get on Hinge more, you know?
Yeah. And I haven't, maybe that's what it is. My gripe is that I haven't been going on enough Hinge dates, because that's the only thing that keeps me sane.
I hate it.
It's my one release.
Yeah. Oh, hey. Yeah, dude, but, just go drive around.
Yeah, so and that's what I'm looking forward to today on my day off. It's like bright out. The sun's out, crazy. But I feel like most of the time that I'm driving, it's either, you know, to and from the gym. And then if I drive elsewhere so far, it's been like at night. And during the day, you actually get to see some shit. At night. My hype is that I feel like I've talked about this before. Circle back to episodes in the like.
I'm really interested to hear what this
summer
is.
Summer of 2020. Summer 2020, I went through this like pancake phase thanks to my buddy Cal that I was living with. He's like, dude, just take pancake mix, like Crusties or whatever you want, and then put like some protein powder in it. And it's like pretty fucking delicious.
Protein pancakes.
And so. I've just been making like straight pancakes with some peanut butter powder in it.
Straight pancakes? Why don't you try making gay pancakes?
yeah, fuck that. no pancake of mine. No pancake of mine likes boys. That's
No pancake of mine's gonna play with dolls.
Just the strictly heterosexual.
No pancake of mine's gonna use sugar-free syrup. Not in this house.
So, the only maple syrup we're using in this house is from Vermont. Not getting any of that Canadian shit.
None of that shit from Canada.
But yeah, so these pancakes, like, it's just good to be back. That's what my hype is. Is like they're like the pancakes themselves. Like I think I like them even more back in the day because it'd been so long since I had last had a pancake, and then I've almost like. Tricked myself back into this pancake lifestyle of like,
are you,
when I've gone out for breakfast, I've like reintroduced pancakes. Like, ooh, like a pancake breakfast is kind of good. Like, you know, get some eggs and bacon on the side. It's like, you know, instead of getting the omelet, it used to be like, oh, omelet, best bang for buck. And now it's like, no, pancakes, you still get.
Have you ever had a pancake before?
Good shit. Pancake breakfast. But yeah, it's nice to be back. Nice to be back making pancakes again.
Just feels really good to be back, man. You know, this is home for me. This is my sweet spot, and you know, just too long away. So definitely not going to do this again.
Pancakes, this is for you. After I formed some sort of dream team with waffles,
dude. I am honestly, don't get me wrong. I love pancakes. Mm-hmm. I do prefer waffles
because you like the crispity crunchy.
I like the crispy crunchy and the fluffy. Grew up eating a lot of waffles. We had a waffle maker at home. And many a breakfast, my dad would just whip it up, give us some waffles. And then we'd have waffles for like two or three days in a row because of all the batter that he would make. And it was great.
Yeah, I would go Eggo waffles, the frozen ones, the chocolate chips.
Also good.
I would microwave them. Which I know. Yeah, well, this is where we're different. I liked them being like... softer, and so they just get like nuked.
It's okay. It's
and
okay.
Then you can really taste the chocolate chips.
One thing we would do, and I mainly just mean Tommy would do at sleepovers growing up, because we generally had like Eggos in the freezer at my mom's place. He would make them, pop them in the toaster, then you get a scoop of ice cream, generally vanilla, plop that on one, put the other waffle on top, you got yourself an ice cream waffle sandwich, and it was pretty good, let me tell you.
The joys of being a kid. Alex, Alex, if he's listening, would attest Murray, his dad, made the best chocolate pancakes after sleepovers.
Ooh.
And I think there was a time, like, I don't know, where we all went out as 22-year-olds or whatever one summer and, like, all crashed at Alex's. And I think his dad might have made us pancakes. Like, it was just the greatest throwback. If
I'm sure that
we
was
were,
a...
if we were podcasting back then, that would have been, like, the hypest of hypes.
Dude, I've never thought of this before, but it's going to be sick having kids post sleepover. You know, you got to make that a special breakfast in the morning, dude. Yeah.
Do you remember going over to a friend's house and
no.
having... But there was something about, like, going to a friend's and trying a food that they had at their house, like a fruit, right? Like, I remember trying a peach for the first time at my buddy Bryce's place. His mom, like, sliced up a peach or something like that. And I was like, wow, this is really good. And then I asked my dad to get peaches at the store. And it was just
like, and he said, God damn it. No son of mine is going to eat a fucking peach.
Nah.
Did he get them?
Peaches, mangoes, they're just kind of a hassle sometimes. Like, in terms of slicing up and all that. But...
Okay.
No, it's just not the same. It's kind of the same thing as like when you order, when you take a bite of something, like if you taste someone else's, you know, whatever they ordered, right? Taste someone else's. If someone,
when you taste someone else's peach, it is truly an experience.
But there's something about like if someone else gets something that you were eyeing down and you decide to order another item, but you take a bite of theirs, you're like, ooh, next time I'm going to get that. And then all of a sudden you get it next time and you're like, it was way better when I only had one bite and it was like a delicacy.
I'm a big fan of splitting, you know, you and someone else and you're both like, I really want to do this, but I want to do this too. Hey, why don't we each get it and split them?
If my sister is listening... I don't know that she recognizes this, but she does it like everywhere we go where she's like, if we go to the Thai restaurant, right? She'll like look at me and be like, what are you thinking of getting? Like, should we split? Like, I'll get like the one other thing that we like and then you get the other thing and then we're both happy. And I'm always like, I don't know, like it's very rare that I'm like looking forward to splitting. Like I'm usually just like, no, I want to figure it out on my own.
I just want my own fucking Penang curry.
Because I don't want to, like, deal with fighting for portions and whatnot and, like, trying to get the even split. But, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Take us into the new age. Cosas new aves.
Dude, it was a product of this weekend. The boys have introduced some new vocabulary. Not new. So, the first one is just the term goated. And that's not new by any means. I was definitely aware of it. Definitely used it more jokingly, but it's something that they throw around quite a bit. So definitely enter the lexicon. But the thing that was new to me, which I very much appreciated, and we mentioned part of it earlier in the episode, sneaky goated. And I think this is a very useful term, you know.
That could be its own segment.
My sneaky goated. I honestly, when I was writing this down, I was like, is this something that we could potentially have as just like a, you know, if there's something that was unexpectedly good? You know what? Fuck it. I'm putting it in. You're watching this shit happen real time. Should it be a... Where should it go?
It's kind of similar to Kosas. Like my new thing. Like the new things are usually sneaky goated to some degree. Like we just didn't realize that they were goated.
That's fair too. We'll play with it. But yeah, sneaky goated. Really, really big fan of it as a term. And it just describes shit so well, you know, when you try something new, maybe something you were aware of and that was there in front of you the whole time. And then you finally try the thing and you're like, oh, what?
Like Harry was like, damn, all that really aromatic food that I'd smell in the airplane.
Turns out
it's actually quite good.
Sneaky goated. Sneaky goated.
That Penang curry was sneaky goated.
Yeah.
You
sound like some suburban mom saying that was sneaky goated. Actually,
my son's performance at his soccer game was sneaky goated. Yeah. He scored a goal, his first of the season.
Look at him! Look at that goat.
Turns out he's a striker.
You're a goat, Jeremy. Yes.
Coach had him playing defense. I don't even know soccer terms.
Yep,
defenseman?
Left wing? Right wing?
Left, but yeah, left wing.
Defender.
He's sneaky goated.
Turns out, you go, Jer-Bear. You're goated.
Thanks, Mom.
I also like goated with the sauce. I'm a big fan of that term, too. But it's just similar to goated.
Explain. Goated with the sauce?
It's just, it basically just means the same thing, but it's just more fun to say. Just adding more shit onto it. Yeah.
Goated with the sauce.
He's goated with the sauce.
Cool. We got to have Harry, Darren, Jacob, Chuck, those guys on. And like that could be the reason that we like introduce Sneaky Goated or Goated as a segment. Just like the episodes that they're on. Just like Sneaky Goated.
I'm a fan.
My new thing, my Kosas new wave us, which I knew was goated, but turns out Sneaky, like they're going to hate us. They're going to listen to this and be like, I kind of hate that you guys are just like obliterating our usage of Sneaky Goated.
No, I think they'll appreciate it. They will appreciate it.
But there's been a lot of talk. This league, people have come out and they've said air fryers are the best. And we have one in our apartment, and I had like looked at it for a few weeks and was like, this thing, like I'm just going to continue baking my chicken.
Look at it like some caveman.
Yeah, just banging it. And all of a sudden, like the light on it turns on, it like gives me these options like reheat. And I'm like, ugh. But I finally was like, all right, I always get my chicken breast at the grocery store and I oven bake it at 425 for 18 minutes, usually a little bit more if it's a thick piece, but then, and that way I can mass produce this chicken. But then when you reheat the chicken, zapping it in the microwave isn't the same. Throwing it on like a skillet with a little bit of oil.
Too risky.
That usually gets like a nice little like char, which is nice.
But you're running the risk of drying it out.
Yes. The air fryer, let me tell you, you put a nice hunk of chicken in the air fryer that's already been cooked and you just put it in like a little reheat mode.
Yeah.
It gets that nice crispiness on the outside, and it's still nice and juicy and properly cooked on the inside. I gotta hand it to the air fryer. I was reluctant for a long time, but I've come around, and I'm definitely late to the game. And like, I still don't know what else I'm gonna use it for.
Hey,
just know I'm gonna.
I'll give you some tips.
Okay.
Chicken thighs. Like, yes.
Well, that makes sense, but I'm just like. Right now, I know what I know, and what I know is just like reheating shit that's already cooked. So, like, I'm a little reluctant to just be like, all right, uncooked chicken, throw you in this thing with just like hitting the buttons that it says I'm supposed to.
See, I'm seeing a parallel as to why you haven't explored Scottsdale at all. You're in a rut, Dylan. You're in a culinary rut.
Yeah.
And
culinary dropout. That's a place I got to check out here.
Yeah. I would just, dude, go for it. Would you use any sort of term to describe using the air fryer?
Sneaky goated.
A little bit. I think it's good for certain things and it sucks for others. I think it's really good for cooking meats, actually. Like, surprisingly good.
Like vegetables.
I don't really like it for cooking vegetables. I will be honest. Cause it just like, it's kind of hard to describe. It feels like it doesn't, it mainly just gets the outside, you know? I guess it's not that hard to describe.
Just frying the outside.
The outside is what gets more cooked and then the inside less so. Like cooking like broccoli in it.
Yeah, it's like when you get like a tempura, like veggies.
Maybe. It's just, I don't like it that much though. And like broccoli in it or like potatoes. I don't know. Not the biggest fan. So certain stuff I think should just be cooked in a pan or something.
I agree.
But chicken, fantastic. All forms. Breasts, thighs, wings, anything really good in the air fryer. I refuse to do it, but my roommates have made steak in the air fryer and they said it turned out really good, which, you know, makes sense. Salmon.
Here, keep talking air fryer
while you show off your dangling. Yeah. Freaking salmon in the air fryer. I recently started making salmon bowls. Let me tell you. You get yourself a fillet of salmon. Yes, you do. You throw it in there. Preheat that bitch to 400. All right? You're going to put your salmon in there. Skin side down. All right. Important fact. Also, you should be seasoning or marinating your salmon ahead of time. I don't need to tell you this. You should hopefully already fucking know this by now. 400. Put it in there for maybe 10 minutes. Pull it out. Check the temp. All right. Once it gets to around 120, maybe even 125 if you're bold, maybe even 130. I don't fucking know. Live your own goddamn life. You're going to pull it out and you're going to have your rice bowl already made. You're going to set your rice down. Maybe squirt a little sriracha on it. You're going to have your vegetables that you've cooked. Maybe broccoli. Maybe carrots. Maybe bell peppers. Not in the fucking air fryer. You cook that shit in the pan like a man. And then you toss your salmon in a bowl. Throw in some mayo. Throw in some sriracha. Maybe a little bit of soy sauce. Whip that shit up. Get rid of the skin unless you want to eat that shit. I don't personally. You're going to put that in the bowl and then you're going to enjoy. And you're going to love your life as you eat this. That's just my two cents.
You're going to like the way you look.
Guarantee it.
That was definitely one of the louder. Like, I kept my door pretty wide open and my door, the door to my room, the door to the bathroom. There's no one else home right now.
Whoa.
So that was a, that one definitely got picked up by the mic.
PP.
Mm-hmm. So for you sickos out there.
For all you sick fucks. Get off to this shit.
Love that stream. Great stream.
Yeah.
All right. You want to start this one off for the culture?
I mean, are we done talking air fryers?
Yeah.
You know what? You know what I've made in an air fryer before? Brownies.
Really?
Brownies in the air fryer. Lay down some tin foil so it doesn't fuck up your basket. Mm-hmm. Put the brownie mix in there. Ooh, what?
Damn.
It's good.
What separates that from the oven? Like,
nothing.
Like the frying?
An air fryer is just an oven. It's just a tiny convection oven. That's why it's able to cook things so fast. When you cook things on convection heat, all that literally is it's like circulating the air like all around versus the heat just coming from maybe the top or the bottom. And so it's just a small version of that. So you don't have to heat up as big of an area, so it can heat up quicker and cook it faster. That's all it is. You're not actually frying it at all.
Oh, okay, good. Because I heard frying foods is bad. It's unhealthy. That's why fried chicken makes you fat.
That's what the government wants you to believe.
Yeah.
That's what
propaganda against big air fryer.
That's what big diet culture wants you to believe. Not true.
That's what big convection oven wants you to believe.
Mm-hmm. Big. That's what big Jenny Craig is trying to get you to play into.
All right, now we're done. I think that was sneaky goat.
Damn. That was.
Damn. Verticulture, a sneaky goated segment.
Sorry?
I
will happily start this bitch off. So, one of my favorite artists, maybe even one of yours too, the boy, Mac DeMarco, just dropped a new album.
Spot in my heart for Mac.
Came out on the 20th, so that's at this point, 5 days ago. And there had been a little bit of hype building around this album for a bit. It was known that it was just going to be an instrumental album that he was putting out. It's 34 minutes, 52 seconds, quick, easy listen, definitely good background music. If you like just Mac DeMarco's sound, he has a pretty distinct, unique sound that, you know, if you know what it sounds like and you heard a song of his that you didn't know was him, you could most likely guess it. And this literally just sounds like a Mac DeMarco album with no lyrics in it. And that's not a bad thing. To me, I did like it, but I don't really see this as being something that I come back to a lot unless I'm, you know, maybe I'm just working on something, some project, and just want some easy listening stuff in the background. But other than that, although I did like it, I don't think I'll be listening to it more. But a cool thing that he did do was all the track names, I think they're just places that he like wrote the song or made the song.
Because you sent like one song in a chat.
Yeah, I think I sent the album.
All right, listen.
But to that song. Like there's like Portland and then Portland 2 and Vancouver, Vancouver 2, Vancouver 3. So it's just super basic ass titles that don't actually necessarily pertain to the song, other than apparently that's where he made them. So that was pretty cool. I thought that was a cool little, I don't know, nuance to this album. But it's called Five Easy Hot Dogs. Great title. Okay. Who doesn't love Five Easy Hot Dogs? We've all had those days where we slug down five hot dogs. We've all been there. And you could do it during this album. You could easily kill five hot dogs in 34 minutes and 52 seconds. So, that's it. That's it. Good album. Solid.
I feel like Mac DeMarco is... what is it? He's like become overwhelmingly popular, you know, to like a... Like it's not as cool to like Mac DeMarco anymore, if that makes sense. Like everyone thought that they were interesting for like listening to Mac DeMarco, and then now it's just like so many people listen to Mac DeMarco and like widely accept and enjoy his music that it like kind of takes it like kind of the same thing as when everyone was who am I thinking of? Currents.
Tame Impala.
Tame Impala.
Yeah, like I could kind of see
like early on. It's like, I like Tame Impala. I'm different. And then now it's like, yep, everyone fucking likes Tame Impala. Like,
yeah, I do think with Mac DeMarco, maybe. I mean, it's like any artist that blows up, you know, you're going to have the like more core fans, whether or not you've been listening to Mac DeMarco since freaking Salad Days came out. But obviously the people who know more of the discography tend to be the more legit fans, more active fans. So I think you're right, though. Like, he's definitely, he started off and quickly became like the big boy in indie rock, alt rock.
Brony.
Yeah. But
he's popular
now. But
I can't say I've ever listened to like any of his albums. You know, like
Heathen.
Throughout. Yeah. I just pretty much like would put on. Anytime I'd listen to Mac DeMarco, it was just kind of like top songs, and I'd listen to like all, you know, 50, mm-hmm. you know, and then eventually start to like, I don't know, lose interest or like find something else to listen to on the drive or whatever it was when I was in Seattle or, but yeah, I definitely a spot in my heart for Mac DeMarco. I just, like I said, never listened to an album like through and, you know, front to back.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know like what the typical structure is, but yeah. I know that I was aware that this is strictly instrumental. Yeah. But speaking of instrumental, this is a double music verticulture.
What?
I've been listening to a lot of, now that I've got Apple Music, going back and like just listening to albums, but the one I've been stuck on lately, just like can't seem to shake it and stop listening, has been Liquid Swords by GZA, the genius. One of the, you know, Wu-Tang members, one of his solo albums, widely regarded. I think most people, if they like see the Liquid Swords album cover, like they'd be like, oh yeah, like it's like something that you'd see at Spencer's. What's the like pop culture t-shirt shop that people
I don't know. Hot Topic.
Hot Topic.
Yeah. Really?
If you go to Hot Topic, like, yeah, like I feel like someone would like come across like a Liquid Swords shirt. But I know on the last episode that I talked about, like, you know, I struggle to articulate what it is that I love about albums and whatnot without just being like, I like this, it's good. So this is what Google says when someone asks, why is Liquid Swords so good? The top answer is Liquid Swords features what is arguably RZA's greatest production on any one album, particularly of his early work. This feat isn't merely limited to his beats, which are exceptional in their own right, but also considers how the album is structured and arranged. But yeah, there's some really good, because anyone that likes Wu-Tang, there's always going to be some cuts from blah, 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 the movies of sword fighting. Kung Fu.
Oh, yeah. Fighting. Old, like, Shaolin Kung Fu movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But just in terms of, I think what, like, really has made me, like, stuck listening to this album is, like, I already had songs that I liked from before when I just, like, listened to the singles off of it that I liked. And then now, having listened to it front and back, I'm like finding songs that I never listened to, and I'm like, well, this is also good and doesn't get as much like critical acclaim, or, you know, maybe doesn't have as many listens. But let's just go through some of the songs real quick. Let's see. That's not the first song. What the fuck? This order is all off. Google, you're failing me right now. But songs that I liked, here we go. Songs that I already had listened to were like Cold World, Kill the Hills, 10304, Investigative Report, Shadowbox, and Fourth Chamber, Liquid Swords, and Duel of the Iron Mike. Those all being like songs that I love. But then the one song that's like really had me hooked is Living in the World Today. Had never listened to it. It's the third song on the album. It's very good. And then so is Gold right after it, which then like perfectly segues into Cold World. It's just very, very, very enjoyable to listen to. And I read somewhere before this episode, because I was like going to steal other people's work and be like, ah, this is what I think.
I have this nuanced opinion on this.
I saw someone refer to this as like a winter album, like because it's like cold and, you know, like
hoard.
Yeah, and so it is like there's like some cinematic properties to it with the all the little, you know, samples that are in there, mm-hmm. of sword fighting and whatnot. But ding, ding. Yeah, I can see where it is very much a winter album, and I'm enjoying it right now. Well, it's kind of cool in Arizona. Fuck. But Jake, have you listened to it?
No, I haven't. I actually added just one of the songs off of it to my legs, so I'll remember to check it out.
Which one?
Just the one that came up as the most popular, so Shadowboxing.
Which is? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'll break it down to the bone gristle.
It's got GZA and Method Man, two rappers mm-hmm. that I like.
Mm-hmm. That are both members of...
The Wu-Tang.
The Wu-Tang.
I heard that they cool. ain't nothing to fuck with.
So they No. Do not want to fuck with them.
No.
That brings us to a close, huh?
Well, damn. Look at that. Well, nearly a perfect hour.
This episode was sneaky goated.
Bruh. Bro, if we're not capping right now, goated.
I just can't wait to like say that to someone else and say sneaky goated. And then like instantly have them be like, what? Or excuse just me? Like not. Like not appreciate it, and I'll be like, my friend's back home.
I feel like,
and I like think it's really cool.
Most people are aware of the term goated, and then sneaky goated just makes sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you.
Probably make sure that like, what if the boys, what if they got that from something else, and like we're stealing?
Hey, I mean it's possible, but sneaky, just the way it goes, you know, just how it be. Do some quick background Sneaky research. Goat.
Official Goat Simulator Wiki fandom. No.
Looks sounds Sneaky. Clean to me.
Sneaky goated. Today's show is Sneaky Goated. Reddit.
Today's show was what Sneaky Goated.
Today's show. Even with Frank and Tico, the boys were just very funny interacting with them. The baby boy with an all-time line and Clemmer on Tico's lap had me crying. Oh, the yak? Oh, shit. Do they say sneaky goated?
It's okay if other people say sneaky goated. There ain't nothing wrong with that.
I don't know. Now I'm getting nervous. We're just turning into the yak. Uh-oh.
Well, that's always been the goal anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Cool. What a time. Hey, you go enjoy your day off. All right.
Always. Yeah. Going for a walk at least, and going to the Nike store and getting some new like training shoes because mine smell like ace.
You going
to
get some Metcons, baby?
I think I'm going to get like some basketball shoes because I have some other old beat up Metcons that I can like still lift in. Okay. But I want some like basketball shoes to wear for like throwing. So
you're just going
to
get some Jordan ones?
No.
Are you going to get yourself some GD Wheaties?
GD Wheaties? Already have some GD Wheaties. I'm thinking, I don't know. I'm just going to find whatever is not, like, whatever's on sale. So, probably some Kyrie Irvings.
Kyrie's. Some Curry's.
Some Kyrie's.
Get John Morant's new shoe. It looks pretty dope.
Well, while I'm shopping, remember to like and subscribe, leave a review, do all that ish. And it goes a long way.
Share it with family. We want
to get from 2,000 to 3,000 as quickly as possible. Like averaging 3,000 listens.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't get that confused.
All in due time. It'll happen.
Cool.
Cool.
All right. Later, everyone.
Bye. Bye.